In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. I just want to focus on one passage that has come to mind. And I think it works for especially people at your stage of life. And we all have desires and expectations, and we all want to do things. But it's a very good reminder to us on how we live. We touched on this briefly at Grapevine, I think, last week. And it's a passage from Deuteronomy 8, 12 to 15. God speaking to his people saying, "When you have eaten and are full, when you have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, the house of bondage." And it's where we place God. God for us should be an end, not a means to an end. So if I'm seeking God, then I need to seek God for God, not seek God as a service provider, someone I want something from. And that's why, if you notice, we'll pray quite a lot if we want something. But if we don't, then we don't as much. And that really goes back to what our priorities are. Is my priority to have a certain status and to reach certain targets? Because knowing you all, you are all very target-oriented. That's you're achievers. You're people who want to achieve in life, and as we should all be, because we're entrusted to this life. God gives us that trust and says, "This is yours. You've got to be faithful." But is God part of what we're trying to achieve, or is God merely a stepping stone? And I'm really sorry to put it that way. It's horrible to put it that way. But is God a stepping stone? Is he a means to an end? I think if he's not, then our relationship with him is based on a desire for him, regardless. And that's why our practice in the church, whether it was this morning at liturgy, or ironically, even at a funeral service, we start with the prayer of thanksgiving, giving thanks to God on every occasion, every condition, for all things. Everything. Because we say to God, "We want you in our lives, we're seeking you, whether we are achieving what we want, whether we're getting what we want, whether we're joyful or we're sorrowful, whether we're healthy or we're sick, whether we got that job or not, or in that relationship or not, whatever we are, we're thankful because we have you. We have you." It links into this morning's gospel, where being found favorable before God, on one side, he looks at us, and let's face it, St. Mary was just another human being. She was a prepared vessel. She was sacred, but she wasn't without sin. She lived the life that most other people lived around her. She wasn't wealthy. She wasn't socially prominent. Yet he looked within her, and she found favor. God looks within us, and he desires us for us. God is perfect. God doesn't need us to do anything. God can do all things in and of himself, completely. He doesn't need us. But he wants us. So if that's on one side, God saying, "I look within you, I see the sin you have," all of us, we all have sin, we all have mistakes we make, we all have glitches in our lives. He looks at us and says, "I see that sin in you. I see that life in you. But I still love you and I still want you, because you're still valuable to me personally. You're still valuable to me because I understand who I've created. Even if you've made a mistake, it doesn't matter. As long as you've repented from it, as long as you've confessed it, as long as you've come back to me, that's all that matters. I don't care. Because I know you're going to sin, I know you're going to make mistakes. And he wants us for us. On one side, someone like simple Mary, a girl entrusted to the temple, then came out when she was of age, betrothed to an elderly man to look after her, and she became the Theotokos, the bearer of God, the vessel of salvation. But in return, what's our relationship with God? We look at him for what he can provide for us. And again, it sounds horrible to say this, but he only has favor before us when he does what we want. So his love for us is unconditional. He says, I love you, whatever you do, as long as you come back to me, I'm waiting for you. Our relationship with him is, yes, God, we love you. Just make sure you tell me, you give me exactly what I want. Make sure you provide what I ask for. Because if you don't, I will go for days, weeks, months, sometimes years, without speaking to you. I won't interact with you because I'm not getting anything out of it. I don't know. When I try to pray, I don't feel anything. Seriously? How much time have we invested? You know, you see these relationships where someone, you know, a guy will approach a girl and she'll say no. So he tries again. She says no. So he tries again. She says no. She tries again. You think, for one sake, say, come on, give it up. Enough. Kveya. Khalas. Done. But because he wants this relationship, and you know, with girl parent equality, it's working the other way as well these days. So ladies, don't feel like it, you're just on the receiving end. But we pursue things we want. And sometimes we pursue sin. How many of us have tried to commit a sin? And it falls through. It just falls through. It doesn't work. And so you try again. And it falls through. You think, khalas, just give it a break. Don't try again. And we find God, in his love for us, closing doors that are going to lead us down disastrous paths. And we try again and again and again until we're successful even at sin. Yet when it comes to developing a relationship with God, no, we don't engage, we can't feel him. Is that because we don't need him? Is that because we don't feel like we get anything out of it? And it's such a paradoxical relationship of the omnipotent, omniscient God who has no need for us, pursuing us and sacrificing for us even unto death, even unto the cross, even unto taking flesh and then dying in flesh. And we, his weak, needy creation, that puts him aside because he doesn't provide our Christmas wish list. This list that I give him of things that I want in my life, I haven't received it. I may be over-dramatizing this, but it's... So what's the point? What's the point of a relationship with God if he doesn't give me what I want? It sounds horrible, doesn't it? But how many of us actually do that? What's the point of praying? How many times have we said, what's the point of praying? What? Even what's the point of praying? You pray to speak to God. You don't just pray because you get something out of it. Imagine if you use that rationale with your friends. What's the point of making a phone call? You have a conversation. You get to know someone. You engage. You deepen the relationship. So we find on one side the omnipotent God wanting us, and on the other side, us being totally selective. We wanted him before we built homes and dwelt in them, before everything we had was multiplied, before our hearts were lifted up. We raised our hands. As long as we were going through the wilderness, We were so dependent on the pillar of cloud, on pillar of fire, on the manna from heaven, on the water from a stone. We were so dependent on everything God gave us. But the minute we got to that promised land and we received the things from His hand, thank you, Lord. Thanks very much. I mean, it's really nice of you. Thank you. I really appreciate it. I mean, you have no idea. That wilderness period was really horrible. And I am so appreciative. And I know what? I'm going to recommend you to a friend because you're a really good service. I'll recommend you to someone. Next time I know someone who needs something, I'll put in a good word. Because you came through for me. Thank you very much. And, you know, next time I'm in a bit of bind, I'll contact you as well. But thank you. Great. And up on a shelf. If I was God, I wouldn't let you do that. You would never get away with it. But then again, we should be very thankful that I'm not God. Because the world would be a very different place. There'd be lots of black charred craters. I mean, because, you know, we must make God angry, and all it needs is, okay. But He doesn't do that. He is so patient, and He's so loving, and He's so caring, and He's so sacrificial of everything, even His presence in His kingdom. So no, there aren't lots of smoldering mounds in the world because of what we do to God, only because He's forgiving. Only because He's gracious, only because He's loving. Not because we deserve it. So I think we need to be focused in our lives. And I want to give you a very simple exercise to focus on two things. The first is, look at what God gives us. Look at what it means for God to provide favor for us. Look at what it means for God to give us salvation. After He created us, we made a huge mess of it. To give us salvation. What it means for Him today to visit us and be on the altar. That we partake of Him. What it means that He gives us this fellowship, the body of Christ, whether it's our own Coptic Orthodox Church or the Christian Church at a wider level as that body. He gives us so much. So that's one thing. Let's focus. When we stand up and say, we thank You, Lord, on every occasion, in every condition, and for all things, let's mean it. Let's think of the things He gives us. And realize that those things aren't just material. We cannot judge God's love for us and value Him purely on His material gifts. Because not everything in our life is material. The fact that we are able to sit here in this church today and share God's word openly is something that people can't do in some parts of the world. I was just speaking to some friends who came to visit from China a couple of days ago. They can't do that everywhere. Look at what's happening in the Middle East. Look at what's happening in Iraq, in Syria, Nigeria. This is a gift. It's not material. We haven't suddenly become very wealthy and very prominent. But we're able to share in this fellowship and be supported and be lifted up by it. So that's the first thing. Think about what God does for us. And off that, arising from that second point that I just made, what do we want from Him? Are all our requests material? Let's think about our prayers. We probably pray, and let's start with the most altruistic, just so we don't always look like villains. We always pray for poor people, that God gives them things. And sick people, that God gives them health. And people in war, that God gives them peace. And ourselves, that God provides for us in our families, in our work, in our relationships. Right? That's going from the altruistic, the broad, to the very personal. But it's all material. I want people to be able to eat. I want sick people to no longer have sickness. I want people who have bombs dropping on their homes to no longer live in that risk and that threat. I want my family to have without needing. I want that job because it's important. I want that relationship because I'm pursuing it. It's all material. It's all worldly. All of those desires in and of themselves are perfectly legitimate and blessed requests. But there must be a component of that that says, I want these because of God, because of God's presence, because of His being with me, because I want Him to be with me. So, I want you to think of those two points. And I want you to focus on them. And I want them to be two very practical points in our lives. Not very long today, but just long enough to give us something to think about. And to take something home to do. And glory be to God forever. Amen. Just take a moment to reflect on that.